Good day, and welcome to the AVEVA Q3 Interim Management Statement, nine months to September 30th, 2012 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. John McFarland, Executive Chairman. Please go ahead.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us. I've got Pat Regan, our Financial Officer, with me here. The purpose of this is essentially to give you an update on Q3, which is pretty much business as usual from my standpoint. I will let Pat take you through that. I think I've actually expanded the Q3 update just because I'm sure there are a lot of questions on people's minds as to what progress are we making on the various initiatives. I think it's important then to stand back and say, what are we trying to do here? Clearly, over a number of years, AVEVA's got itself into a position where whilst there are some very attractive things and a very strong brand, we've actually systematically dragged down the value of the organization by having businesses that produce sub-economic returns and by inefficiency inside the organization. It's become necessary to sort of draw a line on that and then put in a program that will actually transform that. Essentially, there were four major things that I put in the release that I was focusing on. I mean, the first, of course, is to appoint a high-quality CEO. Now, part of the problem here is that everybody's expectations is, at 11:05 today, I'm going to make an announcement. Well, I can assure you that isn't going to happen. That as of this week, we were still interviewing external and internal candidates. We have completed independent reports on them, and we're also doing checkings. We're also doing consultation with regulators. That process has to complete before we can make an announcement. We're actually in good shape and on track and certainly in line with the timetable that we set out as a board. I'm very happy with where we're heading there. The main objective financially was the concern over the company's capital level and volatility of the balance sheet. Obviously, we're working on taking the risk down and building the capital up. Again, we're making very good progress in that with our economic capital levels and IGD rising since the beginning of the year. In fact, we've also put in the release something about the non-core disposals, highlighting the U.S. The important thing about that to understand is that it is a non-core business. It's not a business that we should continue with given the target returns that we're looking for. Actually, the benefit to us is considerable from a capital standpoint, which is our number one financial priority. In executing that, if we can, at the levels we are currently working with, it will bring us at or close to our minimum target capital, economic capital ratio. It actually sort of kills two birds with one stone. As with respect to the other disposals, they tend to be individual markets. They're quite long in gestation. We will dispose of them all. They'll be at prices which are perfectly acceptable. We estimate that on average, we will be able to do that around book value and probably better. Then finally, one of the problems that we have is that we're dealing with a very, very complex transformational program here. Given the entrenched nature of some of the culture and values at AVEVA, and also that some of the analysis of our business has not given us the real signals as to what we should be doing. We put in this very comprehensive transformation program, and I've given you a complete rundown on all the things we're working on, just to give you a sense of it. The one thing that's probably making the biggest difference is when we get to the sub-analysis of the individual business cells, you know, we're finding at the micro level areas of strength, but we're also finding, you know, areas even within good businesses where we're burning returns and producing negative returns. And so this analysis in and of itself will be self-correcting and will cause us either to improve revenues within the segment, to reduce costs, to manage losses more effectively, or to withdraw capital, or it may cause us, in fact, to increase the investment in capital and expense in businesses with very high opportunity that actually we've been under-investing in. So it's actually probably the most productive and sharp-end nature of the program we're running, and it's the bit that that we're wrestling to the ground quickly. And of course, we're actually building the results of that into our 2013 and 2014 plans as quite hard numbers, and that is going really quite well. Now, all of that said, you know, getting to this hasn't been completely straightforward, given the nature of the company that we're dealing with. Sometimes it's been a bit frustrating, but actually, you know, as we work through it, we're actually breaking it down and getting to where we need to do. And I'm actually really quite happy with where we've reached. So in that note, I'd like to pass you to Pat, who will take you through the result.
Thank you, John. And good morning to everybody. On the Q3 results first, obviously the economic backdrop continues to be challenging, both in terms of consumer demand, but also obviously the low interest rate environment. Nonetheless, the operating profit trend is broadly in line with the one we saw at the half year. On capital generation is $100 million better in the first 9 months than at this time last year, and is over $200 million higher if you adjust for the disposals of the RAC and Delta Lloyd. Most of that improvements come from a combination of continued lower capital usage, better capital allocation across the life businesses, and higher in-force generation. Particular progress has been made in UK Life, where again we've decreased capital usage, principally from writing lower bulk purchase annuities and lower guarantee bond sales, and also increasing capital generation from the back book. Italy's now returned to positive capital generation with the action we've taken to reduce new business guarantees, and France and Canada to continue to be reliable and good generators of capital. As John noted, we continue to make good progress on improving capital allocation, particularly between the 58 cells, but there's still more to do. What we're doing now is taking the capital allocation down to the next level with sub-cell analysis. So an individual cell, one of the 58, might have 10 or 11 sub-cells within it, and we're differentiating our capital allocation within those sub-cells. Now, all of that means we're putting clearly value over volume, particularly on the life business. And when combined with market conditions, that means overall long-term savings sales are down about 6% in the first 9 months of the year to just over £22 billion. Life new business profitability is ahead of our target, with IRRs at just under 14%. UK continues to perform well. Protection sales are up 23%, individual annuities up 11%, and group personal pensions, important for auto-enrollment, up 15%. We've targeted a reduction in bulk post annuities and guaranteed bond sales, and overall that meant that UK sales were level, and this deliberate shift in mix has seen the IRRs increase from 15% to 16% this year. The UK life business remains one of the key strengths of Aviva, and we're confident that the continued growth in those targeted areas of annuities, protection and group pensions will provide a strong platform for the future. Given our focus on capital allocation and the subdued demand for savings products, we have seen a fall in new business in mainland Europe. We've actively worked to increase prices and reduce guarantee levels in France, Italy and Ireland. And on the back of that, with profit sales in Italy now 36% this year on the back of a 47% increase last year. Our focus also remains on the effective management of the in-force books in each of these markets and maintaining retention levels to ensure that operating earnings remain resilient. In the U.S., we've repriced annuity products a number of times this year, and the lag impact of that you now see on the new business sales in the third quarter. And in the emerging markets, overall is flat, with a 20% increase in Singapore, offset by lower sales in Poland due to the regulatory changes there. Turning on to general insurance, where premiums were steady at $6.7 billion, and the combined ratio at 96.7, slightly down in the half year due to higher weather claims in the third quarter. The personal motor market is our strongest and most profitable area in both the UK and Canada. In the UK, personal motor sales were up 8% for the year, after adjusting for the RAC impact, and we now have over 250,000 new customers this year, and over 2.5 million personal motor policies in the UK. Personal motor rating is slightly softer now, but obviously this follows big increases over the last 2 or 3 years, and the profitability of that book remains good. Our UK commercial business, motor rates have increased about 6%. But in other lines, it's less commercial lines, it is less positive, and we've been more selective about the business we're writing there. A combination of good risk selection, rating increases and cost control means the UK combined ratio comes in at 97%. In Canada, sales are up 5% to $1.6 billion, and there's been a good increase improvement in the combined ratio to 93% this year, from 96% last year. And again, this is due to a range of actions on both retention, rating, underwriting, and underlying growth in the customer base. Finally, then onto the net asset value. The MCV net asset value increased to £4.46, up 25 pence compared to the half year. And then the IFRS net asset value is £3.97 per share, in line with the half year, with the increase in operating profits offset by movements in the pension scheme due to a lower discount rate. Just talk briefly about strategic progress. Building our financial strength remains the single most important priority for the group. To this end, we've seen capital levels increase since the half year. At the end of October, our estimated economic capital surplus is $5.3 billion. It's a ratio of 146%, up £800 million since the half year, and up £1.7 billion since last year end. Similarly, the IGD solvency surplus is now £3.7 billion, or a ratio of 167%, up £1.5 billion since the end of last year. The increases were due to a combination of both improving market conditions, but also the actions we've taken through the year. In the third quarter, we've reduced our holding in Delta Lloyd, we've done some further work to de-risk the pension fund, and we've extended our equity hedging program as well. We've also sold down roughly €1 billion more of Italian sovereign debt in the third quarter, bringing the total we've sold down this year to nearly €3 billion. Now, the sell-down has been offset partially by increases in market values, so our net shareholder exposure, and this is now in pounds, is now £500 million, direct shareholder exposure, down from £800 million at the start of the year, and participating exposure is £4.7 billion, down from £5.6 billion at the start of the year. We've also concluded today we are in discussion with external parties to sell our US life and annuities business. Inevitably, this disposal can only be made to a substantial discount to our IFRS book value. However, a sale would increase both the market-consistent embedded value and significantly benefit our economic capital surplus. We believe such a sale would be in the best interests of the group. Narrowing our focus is another key strategic priority. Along with the potential disposal of our US business, we continue to work on the 15 other red cells. In addition to Delta Lloyd, we've announced the sale of our Sri Lankan business. We're working closely with banks on 8 other exits, and we're taking further radical action on the 4 remaining red cells. We expect to make further announcements on these in the first half of 2013. Our third strategic priority is to improve the performance of the group. We set out today the 9 programs to drive these forward, and within these programs we're working on well over 100 separate initiatives, and have set out details on some of these in the release. I won't go through them now on the call, but we'll obviously be happy to take your questions later. There is no doubt it did take initially more time and energy to build momentum across the programs than perhaps we expected, but we're now comfortable we are making good progress. conclude, although the economic backdrop clearly continues to be challenging, our operating profit trend is broadly in line with the half year. And we're making good progress on all of our strategic priorities to build the company's financial strength, narrow our focus, and improve earnings performance.